only because I feel like we haven't used it enough this morning, right? That call that we had a moment ago here on Twin Cities News, talked to Justice and Drew, that was screened by Sam from Mike, was very bold.
It was bold of him to call.
We're the bold North.
We have the boldest callers.
Hey, are we just the bold North when the Super Bowl's in town and then we just go back to being cold?
can we start calling it cold again? Because it's really cold.
I think, are we still at one, or did we climb to two?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not sure what the current temp is. Yeah, they had Governor Mark Dayton, launched the official, Super Bowl week, and called this Super Bowl week. One of the owners of the Vikings said that our fans are bold, the Vikings are bold, the people are bold, the stadium is bold.
Everything's bold.
Our light rail's bold.
Ridiculously bold.
We're all very bold.
So they don't want to just come out and say cold.
Nope. Yeah. So we're the bold North.
Right now it's two.
It is two.
It's two.
We've climbed. It's heating up outside.
We've crept up to two. So bold. It's the boldest of temps.
Tonight, do you think that Trump's State of the Union is going to be bold? It's going to be something.
It better be. 651-995-855. Got a lot of people who want to chime in on this. We will start with Diane. Good morning, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi. I had a dream last night that Trump got up there and started reading that memo on national TV.
Yeah. Drew actually mentioned that earlier. We were talking about the FISA memo. That'd be great if he just would have got out and just got, yeah. I've decided to release it. Here it is.
Here it is. I'm just going to read it.
Yeah, see people walk out then.
Thanks, Diane. Jerry and Egan, good morning.
Hey, guys. I'm just going to keep telling visitors it's a dry cold, like when you're in Tucson, 110.
Right. It's a dry cold.
It is a dry cold.
One of the things that drives me crazy, and I'm going to compliment you guys about thinking conservative, is that you don't seem to recognize how much the Trump presidency has energized the radical left, whether it's Antifa or Planned Parenthood or Black Lives Matter or every victimization identity group under the sun. He's got to tone down his rhetoric tonight and try to bring a little bit of this stuff back to the middle.
You think?
Yes, I do.
Why?
I voted against him. You guys know that.
but why? What do you think that would accomplish?
What does it accomplish to hedge and hum about Charleston the way he did? What does it accomplish to make a big deal out of a couple players kneeling during the national anthem and basically turning that incident into something that was fading away into a major thing where every freaking team was linking arms? And even the owners who voted for Trump and are making millions because he got elected are up there standing there pretending to be on board with it.
I think what that specifically accomplishes is that for those individuals who want the individual in the White House or wants leadership to go and speak, be honest and authentic about issues that they also care about. You know, I think oftentimes we go and sort of put our own priorities on what we think is above or beneath the president when, you know, President Donald Trump has proved time and time again that, you know, at certain times he'll speak about the things that are high up on some people's lists, and certain times he'll talk about items that are low on some individuals' lists but high on others. So I personally appreciate the authenticity. The only thing, Jerry, and then you can get back to your comments, the only thing, again, that I think he could accomplish tonight by going down the middle or just doing something sort of presidential, doing that thing with my fingers, is a bit of media narrative, controlling. Drew mentioned it, that bipartisan Democrat and Republican senator immigration meeting he had. He was given some credit via the mainstream media for how he handled himself and his acting presidential. So if he did that tonight, that's the only place where I think he could have any kind of win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of callers, so I'll let you guys go. I just think...
Well, Jerry, I got one question for you. If say Trump does take your advice tonight and he starts, you know, he gives a very reasoned, calm speech and he talks about moving back towards the middle and bringing people together, do you think those activist groups that have been energized would believe him?
Not based on one speech.
No.
He could take actions. His administration could take actions to bring him more toward the middle on everything from immigration to police community relations. It's just inflammatory rhetoric that mostly comes from his Twitter account rather than his planned speeches. I just don't think it helps anybody. I agree with the guy that you guys kind of beat up on a little bit earlier that we need to tone down the inflammatory rhetoric. Doesn't mean we have to become humorless. I'm not on board with that. But, you know, just the other side isn't evil. They're just wrong. How about that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I never said they were.
Thanks,
they were,
Jerry.
They were evil. I mean, well, maybe not everybody, but
Dave in St. Paul. Good morning, Dave. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment about DACA that if you really want to see the Democrats' true point of view on this, whatever agreement is made, they just make them an automatic conservative vote for the next 25 years. Chuck and Nancy will be shipping them to the border in their own cars, and every one of them is going to have a shoe print on their backside.
All right.
That's a call. Getting back to Jerry's...
I've seen that that line of thinking
what?
Expressed a lot in the past several days. Like, fine, you know, give the Dreamers, give the DACA recipients, you know, the path to citizenship, but they're not allowed to vote.
Yeah, I've seen that, too.
It's like, I get the sentiment behind that. I understand what you're trying to do, but you can't really... do that.
Well, I like the
if you're a citizen, you could
propose it. I mean, somebody can decide.
You're like, you know, 3/4 a citizen.
I like Tim on Twitter's idea. They have to wait the number of years that they were here in the country illegally, and then after they've passed those years, then they can go and vote. Did you put a little, has a stipulation help? Is that it? No.
I don't think that's really feasible.
Here's the problem, and this is to something that Jerry was saying. Okay, here's the reality of the situation. Regardless of what Congress has or hasn't accomplished, Congress is in the hands of the GOP right now. The White House, regardless of whether or not you call him a conservative, is in the hands of a Republican right now. You have a president that has shown on numerous occasions to reach across the aisle in a bipartisan fashion and work with Democrats. The problem is the Democrats are refusing to work with him out of spite.
Well, maybe out of spite, or maybe just they've done the political calculations. Look, we got elections coming up in just a few months, and I don't know if it's so much out of spite. Maybe it is for some people, but I think it's more about desperately not wanting to give this administration or the Republicans any wins, anything that they can campaign on in the midterms. Their whole narrative, no matter who they're running against at any level of government, state, local, federal, is going to be anti-Trump, anti-Trump, resist, resist, resist. To do that and to have that cohesive narrative, they have to resist. They have to fight him on every turn so that they can say, we need more Democrats so that we can start advancing our agenda and not just resist Trump's harmful agenda.
The problem with what Jerry said to that is Democrats could go and get some of their agenda done for all the reasons you just said. They're refusing to do so. The onus isn't on us. The onus is on them. The Democrats are the ones now who are refusing to go and work with this president. The Democrats could get a lot of what they want to get done and a lot of things that a lot of Republicans would go and disagree with. But they're incredibly hypocritical because they're refusing to do so for all the reasons you just said. If the Democrats wanted to be upstanding and wanted to be rational and wanted to really stick it to everybody, then they would actually go along with these things the president is proposing that is counter to a lot of what is normal for Republicans and conservatives. But because of all the things you said, they refuse to do that. So the Democrats are complete hypocrites right now for all this. They could get so much of their agenda done, way more than ever could be done under a Republican presidency with a Republican Congress, but they refuse to do so for everything that you just said.
They have a president in there that is willing to deal with them, that is willing to work with them. They've just got to give a little bit. There's got to be some compromise.
But they won't.
Yeah.
They won't.
Eric and Ramsey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you had a guy earlier that talked about, you know, all the rhetoric being thrown around and Trump needs to stop it. I don't think it matters who is in the presidency right now. It could be some milquetoast person like Tom Emmer. They would still find something to complain about, and he would not have to incite them to do anything. I think they're that crazy. They're just having tantrums.
All you got to do is hop on social media and search mentions of Eric Paulson. You know, you want to talk about, you know, one of the least controversial Republicans out there. Go look and see what they're saying about Eric Paulson.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all. And you'll see they have one playbook.
Right.
That's it. Doesn't matter. If you got an R behind your name, you could be Eric Paulson. You could be Mitt Romney. You could be Donald Trump. They did it to John McCain when he ran. They love him now.
Right. True.
One playbook.
651-989-5855. Use the hashtag TCNT. Let's go here. Star Tribune. Klobuchar tries to bring common sense to U.S. Senate. Much is riding on admirable work of bipartisan group.
Aw.
There's a lot of awe in this. Minnesota Democratic U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar has taken on a weighty task in recent weeks. Oh, so weighty. She's a key player among a bipartisan group of senators that is striving to not only break through Washington's gridlock on immigration and set a much-delayed 2018 federal budget, it's also trying to revive a long-lost Senate norm, deliberative, bipartisan lawmaking. So weighty. So dare I say, bold. What's really interesting about this, though, is it's a bunch of nonsense in here. But, okay, the Star Tribune just gushes over Amy Klobuchar. Klobuchar deserves home state applause for her exertions, in part because she and the other two dozen or so participants in the self-styled Common Sense Caucus are hearing plenty of less appreciative noise. Immigration advocates and others on the left panned the caucus for ending the January 20th through 22nd government shutdown without first obtaining a guarantee that legal status would be granted to Dreamers, the young undocumented immigrants raised in the country. What the bipartisan caucus won instead was a promise from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell that the immigration issue would come to the Senate floor sometime in February for a genuine debate. All this is... It's two pages, I don't know how many ridiculous paragraphs, from the Star Tribune. All this is...
It's just gushing.
It's the Star Tribune coming to Amy Klobuchar's rescue.
Yeah.
Because she ticked off a bunch of the activists that usually support her by voting for to drop the shutdown and to kick the can down the road.
Yeah. I mean, they're right. What the bipartisan caucus won was a promise. And that's it. And that's why the left is so mad, because they don't believe Mitch McConnell's promise that they will have a genuine immigration debate on the Senate floor sometime in February. They don't believe him. They wanted something more than a promise. That's all they got, was a promise. Now, I tend to believe that they will actually follow through on this and that they will get the debate that they want, because this is a big priority for the president, and the Senate knows that, and McConnell knows that, so they're going to try. They're going to try to do something, but that's what made the left so mad. They needed more than a promise. They wanted to see that shutdown continue and go on and on and on and on until they got everything they wanted. But the problem is, they weren't willing to give anything
right
to get what they wanted. And that's not how politics works.
Yeah, and Tina Smith and Amy Klobuchar got hammered by the activist organizations that support them for not, you know, securing that and keeping the government shutdown in place. And because of that, now you have the Star Tribune that is rushing to her aid with this gushing piece about how she's, it's just such a weighty issue. She's just using common sense.
Like, the Amy Klobuchar, if there's one thing that she's good at, it's PR. So, I don't think for one second that this piece wasn't at least spurned in
part
by people working on Amy Klobuchar's behalf, people doing PR for her. And you're right. That's all this is. This is like, guys, don't be mad at her. You know, she's working really hard to bring common sense back to the U.S. Senate. It's a weighty task, and, you know, she's not always going to get it right, but darn it, she's trying. She's trying real hard. She's bold.
The last sentence in here, if Klobuchar and the Common Sense Caucus can create a new model for advancing controversial legislation,
they can't.
They will stand in that distinguished line. Minnesotans in both partisan camps who understand the value of a functional U.S. Senate should be rooting for their success.
I'm rooting for her to lose the next election. That's what I'm rooting for.
Well, and what's so ridiculous, just to kind of back up to the issue again real quick, what's so ridiculous about this is that, again, Democrats can get something done on DACA. This is exposing the fact they don't really want something done on DACA, because they're using all those DACA recipients as pawns in this whole thing. But the reality is, they could get something done on DACA because you have a president that's willing to do something on DACA, and you have a base of voters for the president that is actually willing to compromise as long as they move forward on border security. And what ticks me off about this, and you can make an argument that this is partly Trump's fault by branding it as the wall and how that whole thing took on a really bizarre racist narrative. That being said, there already is a wall down there. We have laws in place already to keep people from coming into the country illegally. So having Schumer and the Democrats go along with border security, it's not like we're gonna, for the first time, be putting up security at the border. It's just bolstering what we already have. And yet they refuse for, again, all the reasons that you said a moment ago, they refuse to allow that to happen because they can't make it seem like there was a win in the Trump camp or the Republican in any way, shape, or form.
Real quick before we go, did you catch this little nugget in this Klobuchar PR puff piece? Neither is Klobuchar's involvement without political risk. While polls suggest she's in good standing with Minnesota voters as she seeks a third term, her willingness to compromise with Republicans could be a minus with Democratic primary voters and donors if she opts to pursue the presidency in 2020. So here we go again with the Amy Klobuchar. She's not going to run for president, guys. It's not going to happen. It is not. Stop trying to make Amy Klobuchar for president happen. It's not going to happen.
I know.
We're going to have to endure 2 years of this. It was Amy Klobuchar. You know, some people say that she might run for president. No. They're lying. She's not.
I want her to.
Knock it off.
That'd be fun.
It's not going to happen.
She's never going to win the primary.
But her fantastic PR department keeps her name out there for every opening. And then when somebody does start running for president, this is what you're going to hear. Amy Klobuchar for vice president? You know, maybe. Some people are saying that she could be. Not going to happen. Just stop it. That is not bold.
We're going to talk with Pete Hegseth coming up just after 8:30. Before we get into Pete, we will get to this. We'll talk a bit about FBI's McKay, a frequent Trump target, abruptly leaves his post again. This was the day after the FBI director read the FISA memo that the House Intelligence Committee voted to release yesterday. We still have to find out whether or not the president will release it. He's got 5 days to do so. And as you mentioned, Pete Hegseth has a piece in Fox News we're going to ask him about as well.
Yep, he wrote a piece regarding the president's willingness to offer deals when it comes to immigration on the State of the Union tonight. Pete apparently doesn't think that would be a good idea.
Interesting. 651-989-5855.
Your shot.
Stop trying to make Amy Klobuchar happen.
I disagree. I want to see her run.
She's a senator. She's going to be a senator for a really long time.
I'm going to challenge. She's going to run.
She's going to be a senator until she loses.
She's going to run for presidency.
She's probably not going to do anything else.
She's going to run for the presidency.
No.
I keep being told that, Drew. Why wouldn't that happen?
But the media just loves that, man. They get so excited.
Why? She's so boring.
Every time. When there's a Supreme Court vacancy, maybe Amy Klobuchar. You know, they could put Amy Klobuchar on the Supreme Court. That'd be kind of neat.
You know, I think people
maybe
just like...
Maybe she'll run for governor.
I think people just like saying Klobuchar. It's kind of a fun name to say. Klobuchar. You know, it looks complicated, but it's not. You know, I'm being real superficial, but I don't understand, because she's boring. She's completely middle of the road, right? She rarely takes a stance on anything.
Nothing terribly controversial.
No, she's just kind of Amy Klobuchar. She's like there.
Do you think that the years of, like, maybe she'll run for governor, maybe she'll run for, or maybe she'll get Supreme Court. Do you think that that's just years of people trying to build up her name ID so that eventually if she did run for president, then people would be like,
oh. I think it comes down to, it's good PR for her because it keeps her name out there and it makes her seem like a bigger deal than she is.
It makes it
look like other people really think highly of Amy Klobuchar, so you should too. When she doesn't do anything, she doesn't accomplish much of anything. She's a very boring, very middle of the road, very dull senator. She doesn't lead on anything controversial at all. But if she gets that put out there enough, it makes it look like other people think she's pretty hot stuff, right? She's a big deal. Look at all these things that people are saying about her when she actually doesn't have the record to back it up. So it's a really shallow little PR ploy, but it's effective and it works.
I think that makes sense.
From the media's perspective, it's clicks.
Yeah.
You know, it's good clickbait.
Sam, I just texted you. If you can check your text for me, please.
John's going to run for president.
Yeah, I'm just gonna.
You're hearing from sources.
I hear from sources. I have a very, very reliable source tells me that John Justice might run for president.
That's not what I texted. I'm either going to confirm or deny. I'd have to go by my real last name, Lucidice, if I ran. No, that'd be confusing.
The response is the correct.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The correct response is. I appreciate all the support.
Okay.
And I appreciate the urging of many to actually run for president, but I haven't made a decision at this time. But many are urging me to, and many. I appreciate it.
Many.
Sam, are you hearing from many?
From yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
From many.
I very much appreciate the support, but I'm committed to doing my job on the show for now. But I really do appreciate the support.
Many people have urged you.
Yeah.
If you ran for president, you could go by John Justice, couldn't you?
I probably have to go by my legal name. I mean, Lojudice means Cruz justice.
Ted Cruz, that's not Ted Cruz's legal name.
It's not?
No.
What's his?
It's Rafael Edward Cruz.
Yeah. Is it? But this is still his last name.
Steve Jones.
But yeah, it's his last name.
Yeah, I think
name.
You got to stick to the
his
last
first
name.
First name is Raphael.
Yeah.
He's going by Ted. What's the difference?
That's what Ted's short for.
Have we ever had a president that didn't go by his, that like Barack ran Obama. On?
Wasn't he Barry Sotero?
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did he have it legally changed?
I don't know.
On which, was that the Hawaii birth certificate or was that the one from Kenya?
I don't know.
Is Barack really a joke?
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Okay, I'm not following
you. I don't really believe he's from there before somebody starts saying, I'm spreading that stupid rumor around. I was always been the one who said this birther issue was dumb. You just say that up front, but it was a funny joke. No, he had Hussein in there somewhere. I don't remember
his
when it was.
His middle name.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
No, I think if I ran for the presidency, I have to go by Lojudice, which is really tough because I would already lose because you can't look at my name and know how to pronounce it. You can look at Klobuchar and read Klobuchar.
Don't you want to be President Justice?
No, that would just I got to draw the line somewhere.
Like a superhero.
I know. And it's already bad enough as it is that I chose that for my radio name. Hey, real quick, you know, it is Super Bowl week.
What?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard.
Out of the Star Tribune. Apparently.
Sources say that Amy Klobuchar is going to win the Super Bowl this year.
She appreciates the support, but the decision has not been made. Just apparently Super Bowl volunteers aren't seeing, they're not seeing any action on the Skyway. They're saying it's a desert. It's not worthy. I just thought the story was funny. You got the volunteers manning the skyways of downtown Minneapolis said they saw a lunch rush but little other action, with most out-of-town visitors not yet making their way into the bridges between office buildings.
Well,
so the people coming to town don't realize, what are those things?
Yeah, and I could see that because, if you're not from here and you haven't spent much time downtown, they can be a little confusing. It's sometimes a lot easier to just sort of go out on the street where you can, of course, see everything and where you're going.
Well, now you sound like Eric Dayton.
No.
So what you're saying is we should tear down all the skyways, right? Is that true?
No.
Is that what you said?
Dayton's already got his bulldozer out, and he's ready to rip them down now.
All right, let's...
No, I like the skyways.
I want to do choose your own adventure here. We'll save this one, because this one's worthy of a longer conversation. Let's get back to... FEI Deputy Director, we're going to talk with Pete Hegseth coming up. But just to get back to some of the big news that took place yesterday, FEI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, a frequent target of aggressive criticism of President Donald Trump, abruptly stepped down his position yesterday ahead of his planned retirement this spring. So he was already planning to retire. Okay, the 22-year-old vet of the FBI has been publicly and repeatedly lambasted over the past year by Trump. We also heard that in Sam's Top 5 this morning. The departure comes as FBI Director Christopher Wray makes changes to his senior leadership team, replacing two other top aides last week. Such changes, again, are not unusual, but they say they are notable amid Trump's public pressure of Wray to get rid of officials who were confidants of James Comey, whom he fired as FBI Director last May. There is a... an article out of the American Spectator, I'll give you some points from, and we'll talk again with Pete Hegseth about it, though. American Spectator writes this when it comes to Andrew McCabe. This is someone whose wife took some $2 million, most of it raised by Clinton crony and Governor Terry McAuliffe in 2015 while running for the state Senate seat in Virginia, while he was second in command at the FBI during the time the Bureau was participating in what sure looks like a cover-up of Clinton's emails investigation and the use of the Clinton campaign-produced Oppo research document in order to secure a FISA warrant for the intelligence community to spy on the Trump campaign. McCabe is up to his neck in both of those disgraces. Sure, it's reasonable to think that someone who ought not continue as number two man the FBI. Now, the article writer goes on to say, McCabe's ouster Monday should feel a little better than it does, shouldn't it? After all, it was demanded by McCabe that he go sooner Current FBI Director Christopher Wray reportedly blocked that firing. Wray supposedly threatened his own resignation if McCabe was packed off. The correlation being made among many in Washington and elsewhere is that Wray saw the soon-to-be public House Intelligence Committee FISA memo. And now within 5 days, it'll be out for everybody to see. Over the weekend and Monday, the bell tolled for McCabe. The president has already said that he wants the memo out and he isn't going to object to its release. Supposedly, McCabe left because his name is all over the document for the wrong reasons. This is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
McCabe's fingerprints are all over the FBI's worst moments over the past couple of years. For example, one report has McCabe calling then White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus to inform him the FBI did not believe there was any collusion between Donald Trump or his campaign and the Russians. Then, when Priebus responded by asking McCabe to relay that finding to the media to put the Trump collusion story to bed once and for all, McCabe is said to have leaked that conversation to the media as evidence of Trump's camp attempting to obstruct the investigation. And, of course, there's the famous text by the FBI's most infamous marital cheat, Peter Strzok, the Democrat Party activist who sent 50,000 text messages to a woman named Lisa Page and with whom he was engaged in an adulterous relationship while both plotting against Trump's prospective action.
Wah, wah, wah. Well,
yeah. So a few more points on this. There's also the matter, according to Representative Ron DeSantis of Florida, McCabe having instructed FBI agents not to refer to Benghazi's massacre as a terrorist attack. So he goes back that far. The article writer goes on to say, we can go on, and yet Monday, McCabe was allowed to take terminal leave, meaning he'll be using up accumulated vacation days until he retires. He wasn't frog-marched out of the J. Edgar Hoover building on his way to federal court, at least not yet. It just feels emptier than it ought to. But of course, the story is just getting started. Once McCabe goes, he'll be one piece of a large pie. By next week, we'll all be poring over the House's FISA memo and pulling at the threads it presents us. So there is, just to be clear on this, this could very well be that, you know, the controversies surrounding the FBI currently, that McCabe took the opportunity now for early retirement. He was going to retire in the spring anyways. They allowed him to do this terminal leave to get all his pay. And he said, okay, you know, my name's Paul. This is between you all. However, the circumstances surrounding this could be teeing up something larger. And it's all going to end up hinging upon, and we'll talk to Pete about this coming up, what is exactly in that FISA memo and whether or not the fact that the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, only Sunday read that memo, and the next day McCabe was sent packing. Again, just it's one of those things where it has the potential to be either really, 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 really bad, or it's really nothing at all. I don't think it's going to be much middle ground on this one, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm leaning towards the nothing, because I think, you know, you're already seeing such pushback from the Democrats, and I think people are just going to view whatever gets released through that partisan lens. You know, and nothing's really going to change. I'm still in the Katie Pavlich camp when we talked to her last week, and she said, this is all interesting and everything, but unless the Republicans actually show some willingness to go in there and gut the FISA court and actually institute some real reforms,
right,
then nothing's really going to come of it.
Well, and you go back to the initial statements read by those said by those that had saw the FISA memo when the details first came out, and they talked about, you know, the guys that said, I wish I hadn't read it, and the abuses that were disclosed in this, the public is going to be shocked. They talked about it being KGB level.
Yeah.
If it is that big, I feel better knowing you've got guys like Trey Gowdy. I feel better knowing that you've got guys like Chaffetz out there, because those are the types of individuals that I think will push for it. For as bad as this sounds, I hope it is as bad as they described, so that maybe we can get some Democrats on board who are willing to step up and do something about the FISA court and not make this a partisan issue. But I feel like it's got to be huge in order for that to be the case.
651-995-8555 is the phone number. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We will get to your calls in just a little bit. Pete Hegseth from Fox News joins us next.
Justice in.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Get right back into it. We are going to speak with Pete Hegseth from Fox News in just a moment. But first, let's talk to Bob in St. Paul. Good morning, Bob. Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Yeah, I called earlier. I'm just wondering, are you not a conservative? Why do you disagree with me on a DACA issue?
What was your what do you think should happen with the DACA recipients?
They should be deported.
Yeah.
A lot of them are criminals.
No, they're not.
A lot of them have killed and raped.
No.
And broken the law.
Yeah. Everything.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong, Bob.
Yeah. Everything that
That's
you just
I
said
agree
is
with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not talking about the DACA recipients. DACA recipients are children who were brought over here by their parents and grew up here, were raised here, went to school here, and now they are adults and their legal status is in limbo because they were brought over here when they were kids.
So they should have more rights than a citizen?
No, I didn't say that. Nobody said that.
I'm born and raised in Minnesota all my life.
Right.
And they get money. These illegals get all kinds of money from the government, more than I do. And I'm here legally. That's nonsense.
Well, I think that one, you've got some facts crossed there. But two, if we're talking about DACA, like Drew said, I personally do not have any problem with an individual who took advantage of this program. I don't like the fact. I believe that these are family issues, right? From the start. Let's just be clear. These are family issues that should have been addressed with these family members. The children that were brought in by their parents should have been addressed with their parents, just like any other parent that breaks the law and has children that are here in the country legally. That being said, they were offered a program where they could stay in the country legally via the government, and they took advantage of that. I don't begrudge them for taking advantage of that. They were presented with an opportunity to stay, and now they've signed on to that, and I think that it's the right thing to do is to take care of those individuals who were brought into the country through no fault of their own because they signed on to this program the federal government offered them if we can get border security.
Well, if they're children, yes, that's different.
Okay, that's what DACA is, and thank that sex for the call, Bob.
Yeah. Bob, you're conflating and confusing. A lot of issues there. Let's go to
Not Pete. Helping.
Let's go to Pete Hegseth. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. Bring it up a notch.
You had a piece that you'd written for Fox News, a lot of speculation that President Trump is going to offer sort of an olive branch across the aisle tonight, specifically when it comes to immigration. But you put a piece out there yesterday kind of warning him, don't take this opportunity and end up with a bad deal. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I can't warn the president. No one warns the president, but I try to give my sense is, listen, I understand what he's trying to do. He wants to make a deal. You can't get an immigration deal in the Senate without 60 votes, which requires Democrats. You know Chuck Schumer is going to resist. How can you pull off 6 or 7 so-called moderate Democrats? The problem is Democrats haven't shown any inclination whatsoever to do anything but resist.
Yeah.
They won't even take debate on this initial offer. And for Republicans, especially Republicans that supported this president and on his immigration policy, listen, there's a lot of frustration. He promised amnesty, full citizenship, for twice as many DACA recipients as was originally ever discussed. So putting that aside, I think the concern so many of us have is Dems might jump at a deal at some point, and everyone will feel good about a deal. And then pretty soon we've got a deal where all the amnesty happens, and then the security stuff and the end of the visa lottery program and the curtailing of chain migration happens later or doesn't happen at all because that's how Washington works. So my argument in the piece is timing is really important. You've got to get the security measures assured and upfront before you craft the pathway to citizenship or pathway to legalization is what I would prefer, no citizenship.
Right.
So that you reassure those people that any deal isn't going to backfire because we've been hoodwinked before that amnesty won't happen and security will, and it doesn't. So my argument is when you say it in the State of the Union, yeah, the 24/7 news world means information flows no matter what, but from the podium of the State of the Union, it does hold more weight, and I just hope he doesn't double down on this is the deal that it's got to be citizenship and it's got to be 1.8, and we're going to do it because I think that might cause some problems on the right side of the spectrum.
Yeah, and I agree, and it's part of the it's a frustration, and it's the difficulty of talking about this issue, because for me, like with the little rant that I went on with Bob, there's a lot of stipulations on my end for that. I'm not going to be supportive of Grant. I'm with you. It needs to be sort of a pathway, not citizenship, for these individuals, but not that massive number that was thrown out by the president, and not without the stipulation that we do get the border security that we need. And so there's a lot of moving parts and facets to that. And it's tough because you get into this sort of the sweeping generalities of it, and it doesn't work that way.
That's true.
I like the fact the president keeps putting Democrats in this position, though, because it shows, just exposes just how hypocritical they are.
It's true. I mean, I just don't know why he, I mean, I do and I don't. I don't know why he started with such a massive giveaway, which makes sort of conservatives gasp and say amnesty for twice as many as we thought, three times as many as Obama ever offered.
Yeah.
At the same time, he does expose their hypocrisy. They immediately say, no, this is a racist bill. Make America white again. We can't take this. This is horrible. The problem is, like, how many times do you have to expose Democrats for the hypocrites they are? Like, we already know that.
Yeah.
We already know they don't want to govern. We already know they want to resist. We already know they want to impeach them. They're never going to give them a win. So I love showing more of that, but I'd rather drive a real policy wedge between the far left, which controls the Democratic Party, and those senators up for re-election in tough states in 2018. Let's not do giveaways to get them on board. Let's force the political imperative for them to cross the aisle and join a common sense bill that secures our country. Forget about the hyperbole. So I think hopefully this is just an opening bid, and the president can point out the obstruction, craft it differently, and we can, kind of like the Freedom Caucus made the health care bill better, that this process sharpens the iron and the bill gets stronger.
And we haven't said this in a while, Pete Hegg says, but it's worth noting that we are in such uncharted territory across the board. I mean, I'm so thankful, and we're all so blessed to do what we do right now, because we've never been in a political climate like this. I mean, maybe it's been like this way in the past, but certainly for me, I think for us, we've never been in a situation with a president like this, with the controversies that are going on right now. I mean, it is such uncharted territory.
Well, yeah. Isn't there like a memo out there or something that's going on?
Yeah, we're getting to that.
I mean, of course. I mean, what I would say is embrace the chaos, use the chaos, ride the chaos. Washington needs chaos. Let them panic. Let them freak out.
Yeah.
Break the protocol, not as it pertains to confidentiality or anything like that, but disrupt until they feel so uncomfortable, like Andrew McCabe, that they've got to quit. Because that's what they're counting on, is us going away or us not pressing the issue. And I think President Trump has fortified those of us who understand there's a problem deep inside our government to keep shining the light and not stop, because there's no reason to. And Victor Chavis Hansen has an op-ed. I haven't read the whole thing, but the title is, you know, it all comes down to they thought that it was a sure thing that Hillary Clinton was going to win, because none of this was going to matter. And then she lost, and now it all matters. And the fight, we just have to not relent. I mean, don't listen to the left-wingers who say this is about partisanship. No, it's not. It's about restoring our government and trust in our government.
It's weird to think about the alternate reality that we'd be living in right now had Hillary Clinton won.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, and none of the issues that have dominated our discourse and our coverage and our culture for the last year, I don't think any of them would have come to light. And I'm even going so far as the whole Me Too movement and the ousting of Harvey Weinstein and everything that happened and all the circumstances around that. I think all of that, the impetus, the catalyst for all of that was Trump winning the election.
I mean, we'd be arguing, you know, whether or not people are going to watch Fox News or Trump TV. You know? I mean, that's what it would have been. And then we'd be talking about single-payer health care and, you know, amnesty for everybody no matter what. Taxes certainly wouldn't be cut. We wouldn't be having this renaissance. I mean, it is night and day. What a reminder of how important elections are, which is why I'm always frustrated by the talk of, well, turnout's going to be dampened in 2018 for Trump supporters. It's like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh.
If you supported this president, you should run to the polls in 2018, no matter what, to pull the lever for the continuation of this agenda if you like what you're watching. Otherwise, the other side's going to be energized, too. So, yeah, that's a interesting read a book about that.
What do you think, getting over to this little thing, the FISA memo. First off, the first question on this is, what do you think the likelihood that Andrew McCabe leaving his post is connected to the fact that Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, read that memo on Sunday? Is that connected in your mind?
I mean, 99% maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's the timing does not appear to me at all to be coincidental. This is a guy who's taken slings and arrows for 8 months. His name has been all over the media. He's revealed to have used his position more than likely to advance one-sided a partisan agenda, or at least be party to it. And so now that a memo is going to be released that, from what I hear, does include his name, his name's been included in text messages, it was untenable for him to be in that position. And I'm sure if you're looking to clean out a department and restore faith, how you keep the very men and women who were potentially party to what was effectively partisan spying and surveillance for perceived partisan gain. So I'm going to be really interested in actually reading the ins and outs of this memo, what's released publicly, and drawing my own judgments from it. But I think he won't be the last name to step down or receive a new position. Hey, thankfully, guys, he'll get to keep his pension no matter what. That's great.
The first comments about that memo were pretty extreme for those that had seen it. Yeah. Your understanding, I mean, how big of a deal do you think this is going to end up being?
I don't know. I mean, I hope people aren't overplaying their hand. Again, I haven't seen it. I only know characterizations of it. I had the good fortune of sitting next to Rachel Campos Duffy on Fox and Friends for 8 hours this weekend. Her husband, a congressman, had seen it. He didn't reveal anything to her, but the one thing he did say was, you know, maybe people are being a little bit hyperbolic about it, you know, but it all depends on your perspective. I mean, one person can read it and say, well, that sounds really, really bureaucratic, and another person can read it and read through the bureaucratic language and see how, how terrible and divisive and incendiary it is. So I don't think we know, but I think enough people have said enough things based on seeing it that it's going to demonstrate a level of political influence in our surveillance, which in and of itself is a scandal, regardless how deep it goes.
Well, one last thing before we let you go here, you're gonna be back here in Minnesota doing some work for Fox and Friends coming up, right?
Yes, we're doing some stuff at Fox and Friends. We're going to do a number of events. I'll be hosting the show over the weekend, and then we're going to be doing a diner on Friday morning in Stillwater at the Oasis River Cafe. So if you've seen the diners we do on Fox and Friends, we'll be there Friday morning from 5 to 8 a.m. So listeners who are interested, come on out.
Is this in conjunction with any Super Bowl coverage? Because I don't know if you heard, but the Super Bowl's here.
I've tried to block it out. Working at that airport is the most depressing experience of your life. The reminder of the Super Bowl is everywhere. You just drop your head and walk.
Not bold.
Not bold. So that was the Oasis Cafe in Stillwater?
The River Oasis Cafe in Stillwater on Friday.
Cool.
If you're interested, doing a little breakfast with friends.
Yep. All right. That sounds like fun. Pete Hegseth, always a pleasure, man. Good chatting with you.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you next week.
Let's go and talk with, he's been holding for a while, Bill in Minneapolis wants to comment on tonight's State of the Union. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to Justice and Drew.
Oh, I'm on?
Yes, you're on.
Hey, Bill.
Oh, hey.
Hi.
I just want to say the Honorable Donald Trump makes Richard Nixon look like he was like a fifth grader skipping school. Sorry. Bye.
Yeah, you should be. You're not supposed to curse on the air, Bill.
Yeah. Seems like a good idea.
Bill.
At the time.
They hit the dump.
You know what? Let me mention this.
I wanted to explore that call, too, and then I couldn't.
You did? Yeah. just because you wanted to see what his thoughts were.
See where he was getting that idea.
I did.
And then he had to go and curse at us.
I don't understand. That's not
he held for 27 minutes.
Language.
Just to get dumped.
Language. See, let that be proof, by the way. We have some standards here. You know, going back to Mike's phone call, you know, there is a level that the FCC won't allow us to tolerate. And we don't tolerate it.
I let Pete go a little bit early because I wanted to make sure we had enough time for Bill's call. Jeez, that is not bold, Bill.
No, it's not bold.
Yeah, that was very unbold.
Very unbold.
You know, I think I may go check out the Kitten Bowl live on the Nicollet Mall.
No, I think I want to. No, I don't think you will.
Sam, you want to go with me? I'm going to go check out the Kitten Bowl.
I can't even get you. I can barely get you to leave the house.
If I said let's go down to the Nicollet Mall, let's check out the Kitten Bowl. Would you go with me?
Yes.
There we go.
Remember the Dilly Dilly controversy with Modest Brewing Company?
Uh-huh.
Like they had the Dilly Dilly beer and
Dilly Dilly.
Bud Light gave them the epic cease and desist.
Yep.
Well, the part of that deal was Modest got Super Bowl tickets out of it from Bud Light. This is kind of cool. I got a note from the folks over at Modest yesterday. They're going to raffle those Super Bowl tickets off. For $25, you can buy raffle tickets, section 120, row 18, seats 15 and 16, and they're going to give the proceeds to their favorite charities during favorite charities of the employees there.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
do you get the letter too? Do you get the cease and desist? I want the cease and desist letter. I want that to go.
You want that to be part of the?
Yeah. I want to be part of the. I want the C and the C and D was awesome. It looked all old timey, you know. And the burnt edges.
Yogi,
this was so good. It goes on way too long though.
Your friend of the crown, Modest Brewing Company.
It's Modest.
Congratulations. Modest. On the launch of
he has an accent, Drew.
Dilly Dilly Mosaic IIIA.
Dilly Dilly.
Let it be known that we believe that any beer that is shared between friends is a fine beer indeed. And we are duly flattered by your loyal tribute.
You're going to bid?
However.
Yeah.
You're going to bid on it?
Sure, why not?
All right.
Yeah. Just because I think it's cool that they're doing that.
I'll bid $11.75.
It's not bidding. It's buying a raffle ticket.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll buy a raffle ticket. I'll buy $11.75 worth of raffle tickets.
Yeah, I think we're going to have them on the Minnesota Beercast this week. Tomorrow on the show, David, Gartenstein, Ross,
yay!
Plus all the reaction from the State of the Union.
Yay!
Have a great day, everybody.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's